This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
At the moment, the NFL Network is currently playing the Cowboys-Ravens game, and I can't find a remote in this whole freaking place right now.
It's right next to you.
All right, there it is. I know this game is happening today, and I know there's a lot on the line here. Evidently, this is a must-win game now. Are we coming up on that in the next segment, Kevin?
We'll do that in the next segment. But also, do we need to get that Tony Romo, it's a game, it's happening today drop?
This is a game that is happening today for sure. But there's a lot of other stuff going on as well. G-Bag's going to have you all set up in a pregame the way that they do it. And then Broadus and Chiafalo will set you up with the actual official pregame show of the Dallas Cowboys right here on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, there is a game going on in Oakland today as well, and Mike Bassick's been texting us, or texting me all morning. I don't know if he's been texting you, but he's definitely been texting me because he knows how you feel about him right now. But
what?
Bob Nightingale tweeted out, they're going to change bases every inning today for historic mementos. Dumb or cool?
I think it's cool. I would think it's even cooler if Mike Bassick could snag us one of those bases.
So a little while ago, you said, hey, ask Mike if he can get one of those stadium seats since Jared can't because he's not out there.
Look, Corey, I was watching that documentary on Netflix about the 2021 Euro finals at Wembley that just all absolutely fell apart. I'm not going to be the one who starts it. I'm not going to be one of the early adopters of what's going terribly wrong. But if people are just skipping into the place for free, or people are just ripping seats out of the stadium, I'll be in the middle and I'll absolutely be like, thank you, I will take this seat.
You know, when the Cowboys, when they took down the old stadium, they did a yard sale at the stadium, and Brad Sham said he kind of just walked around and perused it a little bit. And then he saw the placard that was outside of the radio press box. And he said, I'll take that one. That was something he was like, that means something to me because that's been my office this whole time. Yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and take that one. And so I do agree with you. But Mike texted back. I was like, Mike, hey, will you grab us a seat while you're out there? And he texted back and he was like, can you imagine me trying to get on the team plane with one of those seats?
Yeah.
And all I see is Mike walking with his bag and he's carrying one of those seats.
We took their seats. Yeah!
Nate Lowe's like, hey, Mike, what do you got there? And he's like, I don't know. It's not fitting up in the overhead storage. I guess I'm going to have to check this. I see a calamity of errors. And I love it. So just if you want to tweet Mike about that, go ahead. All right. So that is going to be happening today. We'll keep an eye on what's going on out there. Now, I saw this quote from, whether or not you like him, Jason Tatum. Now, I know you sweat him because he went to Duke.
That's fair.
And you love whenever our DFW teams lose.
No. I was rooting as hard as anybody, well, except for Mike.
That's right.
For the Dallas Mavericks.
You were sacrificing Rangers wins for the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just didn't quite get it all the way because y'all didn't buy in enough.
Jason Tatum has a number of quotes out there right now.
And they all suck.
They all do kind of suck. I didn't need any extra motivation coming into the season. The motivation came from not being satisfied. Larry Bird is the best Celtic to ever wear this uniform. That's the guy I'm chasing. Oh, okay.
In your face, Bill Russell.
Okay. If you go up to Boston,
I don't know. That's a great question.
I'd love to hear that conversation.
Well,
yeah.
Going up to Boston. They're probably picking the white guy.
Yeah, probably so.
They probably are.
All right, so
I'm not saying Larry Bird's not great. He's definitely great, but that is an interesting. Larry Bird won 3 titles. Bill Russell won 11. Sometimes I don't understand why titles matter for this player, but not this player.
Would you say that Larry Bird might be more beloved, though?
I can see that.
Okay.
It's probably because of age, if nothing else.
And it feels like he, again, we go back to when the NBA became popular. It was him and Magic Johnson.
Sure.
And I don't know that Bill Russell carried as much cachet with everybody as Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
And even if he does, I think it just might be a matter of age. Yeah. I think it might be a matter of there's more people around. They're like, oh, yeah, I went to those games.
So that's another interesting part of this, too, because my question to you is, he said, Jason Tatum says, that's who I'm chasing.
Okay.
I'm chasing Larry Bird. And, you know, LeBron's been chasing Michael Jordan this whole time. That's because he's the best. And LeBron,
sure.
I mean, if you second best ever, maybe best. If you want to argue it.
I absolutely would make that argument.
Let's have some fun. But my question is, and Alec, I'd love for your thoughts on this as well. How do you catch a legend? How do you catch somebody? How do people go, you know what? He's right there. He is now taken over in my organization as the best to ever play here. Is it only championships? Because there are teams without championships. Like sure. That exists as well. But whenever you have, for Dirk, for instance, or Dak Prescott chasing, I mean, he's still trying to fill the shoes of Tony Romo for some people. But ultimately, he's chasing down Troy Aikman, who was chasing down Roger Staubach.
Yep.
And I still think, I mean, Jerry mentioned it the other day, Roger is still the most beloved Cowboy of all time, even though Troy Aikman has 3 championships on his ledger.
Sure.
For my era, Troy Aikman was it. But my dad's era, it was Roger Staubach. So how do you catch a legend whenever you're trying to catch up to what they did and accomplish with that franchise?
I think the thing that Dak has an advantage over so many other Cowboys quarterbacks is it's been so long. You know, like if Chad Hutchinson, well, first of all, that would have been really weird if Chad Hutchinson won the Super Bowl. But if he did, I think people would be like, hey, I just saw Troy win 3. Like, give me something else. I think Dak is in a position where if he wins, I really do think people will be like, holy S, Dak Prescott is the man. He won us the Super Bowl. And like, I really do. There are some people.
Build him a statue as big as the Green Thumb downtown.
There's some people whose minds you're never going to change. If you don't win like 5 consecutive Super Bowls, you're a bum, whatever. But like,
winning one's awesome.
I think for a lot of people, that's going to make it for him. The problem that Jason Tatum is going to run into is you've seen multiple like continued generations of Celtics success. Like you saw it in terms of the Bill Russell, you saw it in terms of the Larry Bird, but they didn't stop winning after Larry Bird. Now I know they obviously hit a bit of a lull, but then you've got your like pseudo super team, anything is possible, that was able to win. So people at least were like, I just saw it. For Jason Tatum to catch Larry Bird, I think the problem he's going to run into is there were so many great players on that 80s Celtics team. I guess they weren't technically the dynasty, but people were like, this is Larry Bird's team. Now, I think people look at it and they're like, no, this is probably Jason Tatum's-ish team.
It's Jalen Brown's team.
Exactly.
In my mind.
And so there's no like clear delineation. If you want to say it's Jalen Brown's team, like I listen to that. People love Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge, but nobody said this is Robert Parrish's team. Like he was great, 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 but it's Larry Bird's team. Tatum does not have that role right now with the Celtics.
I think it's really hard for Tatum because if you want to catch a legend, I think you have to do it your own way. Like the resume has to match up, but we're talking about it right now. I don't even think that he's the best player on his team right now. And you talk about the pseudo super team. It seemed like they had 7 or 8 guys that were championship caliber players in their own roles this past season. So you start talking about the Larry Bird comps, but like you said, Kevin, it was absolutely his team. I don't see a world where you say that's Jason Tatum's team and he stands out. Now, like if you want to switch sports and make a comparison here, like it would be like if Dylan Raiola comes up and he ends up breaking every Patrick Mahomes record in the NFL 15 years from now. He literally dresses the same as he has the same haircut. Like if you follow the mold that's already built by somebody else,
I think that's a great
point. Not going to be as impressed. If he does it his own unique way and you can say he changed the game or he at least looked different and played different than X, Y, and Z, then you caught a legend. But right now, I think it's really hard for him to do that.
And I think it's just inherently more difficult for Tatum to do because of all the people we just listed. For the Mavericks, look, man, I love Rolando Blackman, Derek Harper, but like they can be replaced if you win a title easily. And that's the thing that I think works for Luka is if he wins a title or two titles, then it will forever be Dirk and Luka. And then the next person will have to be like, well, how the hell do I catch those people? Right now, it's Dirk, not only because he was awesome, but because he stayed and because he's the guy who got us the title. So I think Luka has to, like, I think just winning one title won't be enough for a lot of people, even if his all NBA stature surpasses Dirk and everything like that. There's more to it than just like the tangible things. That's why I wish I had a better explanation for you. But Dirk had that like it factor because he brought us the title.
He was ours.
Exactly.
You know, he was ours. We went through so much pain with him and Jet. And then also went through that glorious moment with him as well as a fan base. I do think it's smart for Tatum to do this. Like, it's smart to try and grease. Look, I'm chasing the best. I might never get there, but he's the guy that I love. You love him. I love him. I want to be like him to you at some point, whether or not that ever actually happens. I do like what Alex said, though, about the kind of, you know, remember the back of the day when if you had one scorer, it was good. Oh, you know what? I got two shooters on the floor. And then it was like, hey, we got three. And then Golden State was like, we have four shooters. Boston's like, we got five. How about that? Good luck to you. And that's where they really get you because all of them can do it. So you brought up Luka and Dirk. Corey Seager won a World Series.
Yep.
He hasn't taken over Pudge in your heart, has he?
And that is an interesting example because theoretically then he should have. Now, with Pudge, I'll just say for me that's also
a nostalgia thing?
Byproduct of like when I was growing up and they were the first group like him and Juan Gonzalez. They were the first group to ever make the playoffs after this franchise had already been going for 25 years. And also I was 15, 16. Yeah. And so like, that level of nostalgia is difficult to overcome versus Corey Seager. I was like, that was badass. I saw it last year. Like, I remember it very vividly. Whereas my memories of the 90s Rangers are probably colored.
Boat's your favorite manager?
I think so. I did love Johnny Oates. I think so, though, just because also, like, not only did we win the World Series, I got to talk to him every single week. So, like, that's probably an unfair for so many people who are like, okay, well, that's great, Kevin. I did not get to talk to him every week. I got to listen to him every week. But, like, probably because we felt like we shared that together.
From the 817, Carter was the one we embraced the most because we drafted him. He's ours. Corey Seager was a free agent that came to us. He'll be with us. All right, though, but he was the king of that team. I mean, he was the reason. I know him and Adolis on that. They both contributed strongly on it.
And that's why you looked at Juan and Pudge and Dean Palmer's. Like, hey, these are our guys. We brought them up.
Seager, let's say, wins another one. Maybe two.
Yeah.
You just go, you know what? No matter how much I love Pudge, Seager was the greatest one to ever wear a Rangers uniform.
I do think that you can get to that level because if it goes down exactly the way you just said it, it's going to be undeniable. Like right now, Pudge is the greatest Ranger of all time to me, and I don't think that's up for dispute. And I think Juan Gonzalez is second, and I also don't think that's up for dispute. But I'm sure there are plenty of people who do think that's up for dispute. I would love to see Corey Seager get to the point where he's like, it's me. And then the other people.
By the way, I think if I was listening correctly, Sean's been saying this week that Saturday at the stadium, Hurtado is having Pudge to cook with at the stadium. So I believe that is going on. So
you could go take part in Flagtober and then go cook with Brandon Hurtado and Pudge.
Sounds like an awesome day right there.
Crap. You're welcome for setting that up.
And that's why you Tolo at 105.3 The Fan.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we've already got a lot of people who said yes. So my question for y'all is tonight a must-win game for the Cowboys? You might be thinking it's the fourth game. The hell are you talking about? The question remains. Let's answer it next on The Fan.
Two receivers each way. Snap is back. Four-man rush, looking in the end zone, deep on the backside of the end zone, and it's Turpin. Touchdown.
Now, I'm going to go to, well, first of all, Tony Casillas said this today, that it feels like a must win. Yeah. Now, he stopped just short of saying that, but I respect his opinion very much. Another person I respect their football opinions very much is David Hellman.
He really?
What?
I'm just joking.
He had a column up on foxsports.com, and this is how it starts. Well, this is one of the early lines. I'm not exaggerating when I say this game will tell me everything I need to know about the state of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that's where I am. Because when we say must win, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, it's only the fourth game. You're not even a fourth of the way through the season. You got plenty of time, blah, blah, blah. I think I go to must win because for me, you'll have lost three straight games, at least one of them to what I think is not a good team. We'll see about the Saints, and obviously the Ravens still have a losing record early in the season. If you lose this game to the Giants, then I just see the blueprint of maybe the Jones family believes in the personnel, but maybe they should not because we don't have what it takes
okay.
this year.
All right, so that's where you'll hit the panic button then?
Yes.
Is, okay, see, that's where, and that's frustrating because I know everybody out there agrees with me, but also agrees with the second thing I'm about to say. The first thing is, in that moment where you look at it and go, my personnel is not correct, I have to do something to correct it. But the second thing I'm going to say is, I think everybody else out there, and I also agree, feels like that's not what the Cowboys say. That's not what our front office says.
Yeah.
Our front office says, be more patient with it. We're going through some other things. You know, all we need is just one little thing. Like, that's... I think, Kevin, and I think you agree, if you look at it and go, man, I completely missed on our personnel, then you got to go turn over every rock. If you want to win that year, you got to go turn over every rock to ensure that you have that opportunity to do it. You can't just say, we're going to stick with this group and see how it goes.
Now, people, as you could probably guess, are divided about this from the 817. No, it's not a must-win game. I think it's still too early, but they need to get their crap together. From the 817, yes, it's a must-win. You cannot go into that October death march below 500. And from the 972, must-win, not technically. It's more of a, if we don't win, the pressure cooker is turned way up. And here's something I wanted to talk about, because Jerry Jones has said this a couple of times. And first of all, it's just factually inaccurate that
Baltimore won the Super Bowl, played in the Super Bowl last year.
Yes, that is factually inaccurate. Also, he said last year the Cowboys started 2-3. Factually inaccurate. So what I want to take you to is this. When did the Cowboys get their third loss in these vaunted back-to-back-to-back 12-win seasons? 2021, they were 7-3. So they were 7-2, and then they got their third loss. The next year, 6-2, and then they got their third loss. Last year, 5-2, and then they got their third loss. My point being, this is not a Cowboys team that has shown during this run of 12-win seasons that they can fall behind early and then catch back up. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They have shown that they'll get off to good starts and maybe falter as the season goes along. And so I don't know where the idea would be is that, well, this is the Cowboys team that can overcome adversity if they were to lose this game.
I will just add, I don't think that those teams were expected to have the growing pains this team is expected to go through.
I think that's probably fair.
And I do think that that's where, and I'm not defending it because I think you need to be prepared for it, but I'm trying to look at it the way Steven and Jerry and Will might be. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. But with Overshown getting his first time, with Guyton, Beebe, Nealon, the Sam Williams thing really threw a wrench in their whole plan. With all of that, they're going, crap, we're expecting growing pains, but we're hoping this would be a year that we build at the end rather than start hot and finish slow. So that's kind of my hope there. When it comes to the question you're asking, though, I think must wins are if you lose, you're done.
Okay,
and
that's fair.
And so I say this is a need to win. I do believe you need to win for your locker room. You need to win for a lot of questions that are being asked about you. You need to win this game. Have to? No, I mean, you're still alive tomorrow. but needing is very important. But I agree with Hellman on the, this will tell me everything I need to know about this team. I didn't read the rest of that piece, but the,
it's that, a good back that, and forth. It is interesting.
That line's really good because I think we know it all.
Yeah.
But now that they've gone through something where, Kevin, we've had fights before.
Sure.
Gotten better because of it, probably. I don't know. Maybe
I
we
agree
did.
With that.
And maybe they had their fight and they get through it and they're better because of it starting tonight. Or maybe whatever fight was going on amongst the group inside that locker room wasn't enough to really to turn things around for them. So I don't think must win, but it's really just what's the semantics when we're discussing this at this point.
Okay. Me. Since you said you didn't get a chance to read all of the Hellman piece on Fox Sports, and sorry, there's another guy. I forgot that person's name. I'm going to add this in because somebody just texted this, and this kind of goes back into the piece from the 214. If the Cowboys don't win by two scores, it's not worth getting excited about. The Giants are not a good team. Just winning isn't enough. So check this out. This is more from Hellman, who, again, I have immense appreciation for how much he knows about football. If the Cowboys can't get to Daniel Jones and create turnovers or stops, then I'm not optimistic about this defense finding its footing. And conversely, if Dak Prescott can't take advantage of a Giants defense that's been very blitz happy the past 2 weeks, and I'll add is without two more defensive backs, then there are some big issues in Dallas.
Dak is really good against the blitz.
He is.
If you vacate a spot, Dak knows he can throw into it, or he knows what his reads are whenever you're blitzing. Broda said this yesterday, and I wanted to ask him, like, in the moment. I always hate, and I know y'all do it too. Y'all are sitting there listening to us, and you're like, hold on, why do you say that? But he said yesterday, he said, pressure is whenever you can get pressure on Dak, that's bad. Whenever you blitz him, he's good. But whenever you get pressure, that means you're getting there with four. That's something, that's where Dak doesn't expect it. He doesn't anticipate that it's coming because he's like, I should be protected. The rule in your mind is I should be protected. In the blitz, you're like, I know it's coming from that direction. I can either roll out or I can throw against it. There are lots of different ways to do it. So that's there. Hellman's right there, or whoever else wrote that. Who was it? Was it Hellman?
That's all from Hellman.
Okay,
all right. I'm sorry, I forgot the other person's name.
We're giving him a lot of credit right now.
He wrote all that part. Look, he's a smart guy.
We can write things, dude. People can write. That's I get it.
He can write. I can confirm Hollywood David Hellman can write.
I did want to thank you to Alec Medford for doing research. He's really good at this. And we're finding out more and more about Alec Medford every single day. I've always known the dude's great, but we're finding out how great he is right now. Earlier, I'd said to you, Kevin, that this is, we need the referee crew that is like, hey, we're letting them play today. Alec, do you have any research that could help with that?
Yeah, so your umpire for tonight's game is going to be Clay Martin, and his crew actually has the second fewest penalties given out through this point of the season. His crew has thrown 22 flags. 20 of them have actually been accepted or applied, meaning whenever they do throw a flag, it's usually with intent, and they're usually right, but they don't throw a lot. Second fewest out of the whole league.
There you go, dude.
So that's what we need.
I told you that's what we needed because you said penalties can kill you. And we've been talking about, hell, on the first drive last week, penalties killed you. Go look how many times penalties have destroyed a drive that's been going for the Cowboys so far that could have been something important to them. We got a good crew tonight. So the Cowboys also have to do their part and not jump off sides and false start and all that stuff. But we got a good crew tonight. But it might be a good crew for the Giants, too. I don't know.
Well, I hope it's only for us somehow, some way. From the 817, it's a must win because you have to beat the bad teams, especially in your division. From the 817, it's not a must win, but it's a need to win because if we lose tonight, we're not going to make the playoffs. From the 469, if we can't beat the Giants, our season is over. And this is why I'm probably better sitting here. Well, there's probably a lot of reasons than being on the team because I'm... That is the view that I share. I think if the Cowboys lose tonight, any dreams you have of taking this team to like a real tangible, like nice finish this year is over. Like, and plenty of people are listening are probably like, that's too dramatic. You still have 13 games. I'm just telling you from what I've seen these last 2 weeks. And if you lose to a Giants team that I think is not good at all, then I think that's a wrap for your competitiveness this year.
Here's the question I have for you. If there's a loss and if there's animosity, because the animosity is going to grow if that happens. If they win, it makes you feel more confident. They could be more streamlined, more simple with their offense tonight, and then maybe that's what they need to do. I don't know. But if there's a loss, I guess the question for me is, who's going to change anybody's mind in the locker room, from the coaches, from the guys on the team? Who's going to change the minds on, look, guys, we still got time to turn it around?
I think that's a great question, because don't you think what's far more likely to happen, again, this can be, you can think it's because of the players, you can think it's because of the front office, whatever. Aren't you afraid that there's going to be a lot more finger pointing and blaming as opposed to a, hey, Corey, let's fix this?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm afraid of too.
And now I know that if something's going wrong on our show, you and I will meet about it and say, all right, what do we need to do? Because we have a like mind on what we need to accomplish. But I can't say that if the entire station was having a problem that everybody's going to be on the same page with us, because every show has different things they're dealing with.
That's a great point.
And so, you know, just like if the defensive tackles are struggling, offense over there going, hey, man, y'all are really screwing us over by not giving us good, you know, feel. So that, like, that finger pointing does start to happen. It's just they say the pull one rope thing. That really does have to be a thing. And I know Mike would joke about all the Cowboys leaving to go play Top Golf and everything. Those are little ways that you get guys to build friendships and relationships. And I just don't know exactly how strong those relationships are in that locker room right now.
And for the 817, I feel like it's a trap game, because even if you win against the Giants, it's the Giants. Look, we did a segment about that yesterday.
You just need to win.
You need to win to keep this season moving in a positive direction before it might be too late, too early.
Yeah.
You know? But
you're underwater right now. And exactly. You got to figure out how to get up.
Exactly. I'm not saying by any means that all your problems are fixed, but at least if you can win this game, however you win this game, the more convincingly, the better. But if you can win this game, then I can say, all right, you broke the losing streak. You won a divisional game. You're back to 500. Now let's see what you can do next. Like, I'm not going to think all the problems are fixed, but I'm going to say at least you took a step, you know, because you can't get all the way there without taking this first step tonight.
Look at you. Look at that. It's all about the first step, man. First step, admitting you have a problem.
Okay. Is that what just happened?
Did the Cowboys admit they have a problem yet? Sounds like they did this week, Kevin. Now I don't know what step two is.
But I will appreciate this. I know people get upset about Micah Parsons and a lot, and talking a lot, and all the media availability and his podcast and everything like that. But
he's admitting it.
I will say something that Micah Parsons said that I thought was really great. He goes, I mean, I don't know. Like, everyone sat there, we're all smiling, you're always taking in the message, and he goes, I guess we'll find out Thursday, which is great, because, like,
everybody's nodding their head, yeah.
Yeah, you can think you fixed it until you get out on the field, and then you're going to find out for real.
You get smacked in the face.
We're the KNC Masterpiece, hopefully not, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how the heck are you today?
Amazing, Hagee. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Now, what is your level of intensity knowing you're going to have to squeeze your 5 hours of content into 2 hours of show leading up to the Cowboys game?
You familiar with the Micro Machines guy?
Yes.
That's how we're doing the show for 2 hours.
Did you know he was also occasionally a teacher on Saved by the Bell?
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Fun fact.
I do like some Saved by the Bell trivia.
Okay. Probably.
Did he really talk that fast, or did they just speed it up in post-production?
They were actually slowing him down.
Wow.
That is based on nothing. He just made
I believe
that.
Eric on this one, Kevin.
Thank you, Corey Majors. Look it up.
All right. Now, we were just having this conversation, and I think Corey makes a good point. By, like, the actual definition of it, this isn't a must win. But I'm saying, I think if the Cowboys lose this game, their season in terms of competitiveness is over.
Yeah,
what say you guys?
This is a must win. I know mathematically it's not, but it is, because I think things end up falling apart because of how loud it gets if you lose this football game.
And do you get the sense that maybe this room, and y'all can correct me if you think I'm off, might not be the room that says, let's sit down and figure this out, as opposed to, well, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do this? That's what I'm afraid of, too.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's part of it, is just because you don't believe in the leadership to be able to overcome what is going to be lapped upon their shores tomorrow morning when they wake up. And nationally, the only thing, and they're pretty much always talked about in general, but tomorrow after a primetime game, you're the only game, you lose this one. And then now you have sour taste in your mouth leading up to Pittsburgh. The schedule gets pretty difficult here. I just don't believe lame duck coach. And with the history of this leadership from within, I don't see this being something that they can overcome. I think they would bottom out.
I think if Wolchek was here, he would tell you this is a litmus test.
Okay.
You know, it's not that the Giants are just a bad team. It's a bad team that you own.
That's true.
If you've fallen so far that you cannot, you know, rely on some of the same techniques and matchups that you've depended on to have success over Dak's entire career, then I think it's just a monster red flag that you've become horrible and there's no way you're pulling out of it.
Ronis, where are you with this?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, though, this would be, if you lose tonight, this is the first game now to the team quitting on the coach. And if the team quits on the coach, then that's when they're going to change the coach. So, yeah, you lose this one. Yeah, you've got two bad losses. But this one would be the one that I think that would start the ball rolling down the hill for Mike McCarthy.
How long do you think that process would be? I know this is speculating.
In what way?
In terms of, it's begun, the ball is rolling, we're quitting on the coach to, okay, we see it, it's official, you're fired.
I would say that if you lose this game, you'll get, the guys will start, as Parcells would say, that you get into small groups and start blaming each other for stuff. And then, you know, you go and find a way, you don't win the Pittsburgh game, you look bad against Detroit, and now you get into a bye. And one thing Jerry Jones has proven is if the team quits on the coach, he will change the coach. And when the minute you see that, or the minute you detect that, that's when that, you know, it's about to happen.
Where do you guys fall on, this is kind
October
of like,
October 14th could be Black Monday for Mike.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what Brian just said.
Right after Texas OU.
Yeah,
man. But I think the difference, though, is there's no Jason Garrett on this staff where you can immediately feel like we have our understudy, the guy we want to take over like they did with Wade.
Yeah,
but I don't see that person on this staff.
I don't think anybody on this staff would have a chance for this job.
Agreed.
I mean, you're going to play this thing out and you're going to try and figure out, though, if it's Belichick or who are you going to hire? Is it Ben Johnson, one of the Shanahan tree guys, whatever? But you can get onto that process pretty early. But I don't think if you change the coach, I don't think it's about evaluating somebody for this job in the future. I think you're just caretaking this thing to the end so they can get somebody else.
Sorry, another side note. Have you guys seen the story of Mike Shanahan consulting Kyle?
Yes.
And there's like mic cams around the facility where Mike Shanahan wants to be able to watch everything that's happening.
Does that start with like the, he saw Purdy before?
Yeah.
He was like, Purdy's a guy because he was watching. Yeah. I did hear a little bit about that. It's interesting.
Pretty cool story.
Shadow GMing things.
Yeah, he's basically the guy, you know?
Interesting. Do you guys put any stock in either one of these things? This is the first time the Cowboys have ever played a road game with a quick turnaround on the 3 days rest versus Daniel Jones is 1-12 in primetime. Do either one of those factoids do anything for you?
Yeah, I think the Giants, are desperate, and they're coming off of a win in which they ran it well, everybody knows how bad the Cowboys are against the run. So I think all of those things matter. We're willing to do anything to beat the damn Cowboys at this point. All of our jobs are on the line. Daniel Jones' career is on the line. It's the perfect recipe for somebody to line it up and run it at you, you know, 40 times tonight. And I don't think the Cowboys have great answers. I just don't believe in the Giants, and that's ultimately why I'll still pick the Cowboys to win a close game.
If the Cowboys continue to tackle as poorly as they do,
yeah,
this running back will embarrass you. And I mean, that's the biggest issue for me. And then you've got a quarterback that also is willing to run. If you're Mike Kafka, the OC in this thing, I'm kind of thinking about what's the one thing that they were able to do last week. The Ravens, they paralyzed Micah Parsons with the read option stuff. You know, the minute that they control Dallas controls their running game, if they ever do, and it turns into a passing game, that plays right into Dallas's hands. Kafka's got to think about, okay, what's the one thing I could do to protect my quarterback? Through 3 weeks, he's done a pretty nice job of that. Ball was out of Jones's hands
very quickly
last week. And they've got a legitimate big-time receiver out there. They've got a couple of receivers that can make plays, plus a back that can make you miss. This is a different Giants team skill-wise than what we've seen the last couple of years.
Eric, Bras was just kind of alluding to that, so I want to ask you and Corey this. Regardless of how good Malik Nabers is or whatever receiver you have is, are you to the point where you see the Cowboys and you're like, we're running the ball? Like, if that doesn't work, then it's your time, Nabers. But until then, I'm just running the ball.
I mean, for the last 2 weeks, I think the Cowboys have seen 31 pass attempts against their defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just... Why exhaust yourself in having to throw the football until you are in great advantageous situations when you are turning around and having success at every turn by just handing the ball off? So, yeah, I think that's the plan. Until Dallas proves that they can stop it, this is just the word's out. We know what you cannot do, and we will run you to death, really. And so that's the plan.
If you can't, like, if you're having success at it, I wouldn't stop at it, but... Was it the Saints game? Derek Carr calls a timeout because he sees something and he's like, let's do this. Hits Olave for a big play. Once the quarterback goes and communicates, hey, I see something in this play that I can do, that's when you take advantage of it.
Yeah, pick your spots.
Yeah, wherever the space is, make a big play. Now you got them on their heels a little bit, and that's where the Cowboys defense has been all season so far, is on their heels.
But Nabers is a monster.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, how are you guys feeling prediction?
One other thing. You can use Nabers also in the short passing game to set as if it's part of the running game. Once the ball's in his hand, like, it's a different play. It's a different gear when he has it.
We've seen the short passing game can be devastating to the Cowboys defense as well. What is y'all's feeling tonight in terms of predictions? What are you thinking? Where are you going?
I'm going like 23-20 Cowboys.
Okay.
I went 26-23 Giants.
Okay. I think I went 23-19.
In favor of?
Cowboys.
Whew.
Pain.
Okay. Corey?
Pain.
You predict pain?
Yeah, I predict
That's
pain.
That's what Mike Bassick would say. I appreciate that.
It's true, man. This could get bad.
We asked Mike if he would bring home one of those seats from the Coliseum, and he's trying to figure out how to get it up into the overhead on the team plane. So he's going to try and see if he can do that.
Mark most of what he just said.
Oh, no.
And look, I've said this all along, and I know it's a different Giants team. This feels like it follows the Cowboys script, and I think they smoke the Giants tonight.
Good deal. How'd you think that?
31-13.
No, I'm happy you do. Yeah, I'm glad somebody feels that way.
I hope. Yes, that's right. Yeah. I hope I'm right, because if I'm not, holy cow.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. And we got Jerry Jones tomorrow at 10:30, so that's going to be either must listen or the most must listen thing that you've heard in like several years. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. 2 hours of just content leading you into Cowboys Giants pregame. Tomorrow, catch us if you can at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
So go Cowboys, Kevin.
Go Cowboys.